And that's the kicking music that means it's time again for Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See. This week on the show, it's getting to be holiday time, but we figured we would take a minute to consider the holiday entertainment that we can enjoy throughout the year. After that, we're going to take a break in the middle for one of our favorite things, which is a quiz that I will unleash on my unsuspecting compatriots. And after that, as always, we'll talk about what's making us happy this week. Before we get started, let's go around the table. Stephen Thompson, what do you do at NPR?
I am a writer and editor with NPR Music.
And Trey Graham, what do you do at NPR?
I cover movies and TV and theater and pop culture and that sort of thing.
Once again, we are without the services of Glenn Weldon this week, but we are also, we figured that something that we like to do, mm-hmm. that we used to do with our esteemed producer, Mike Katzeff,
Absolutely.
Before he mercilessly abandoned us, was to put him on the mic from time to time. So we figured it was time to introduce our listeners to our fabulous current producer.
Good pal.
Miss Jess Gittner. Jess Gittner, what do you do at NPR other than produce Pop Culture Happy Hour?
I'm a producer with Morning Edition.
Morning Edition. And what are your regular hours that you work?
Well, I guess the norm is 11:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m.
Wow, that's pretty brutal.
So this is like making you get, every time we do the show, it's basically making you get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's true. I wasn't going to phrase it that way to make you all feel bad about yourselves. But
yeah. You know,
we feel bad about ourselves.
There's so many things make us feel bad about ourselves that this is this just washes right off.
My favorite thing is always when Jess wakes up like in the middle of the day. What's in the middle of my day and starts like boozing at what's her breakfast? That's there's some lovely Twitter update about that that I thought was extremely charming.
Nice.
So we thought we would invite Jess in for this holiday show. Well, as you listen to this podcast, it is Thanksgiving week. It's either about Thanksgiving or just thereafter.
Or Black Friday.
Right, or Black Friday. And we're heading into ultimately the holiday season of Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's and many other holidays. So we got thinking about the gigantic load. Let's just say load.
That's a very evocative word there, Linda Holmes.
Of holiday entertainment that there is. But it was actually, you know, Jess got us talking about this by bringing up a piece of holiday-themed culture that she was pointing out is comforting at any time of year. What was this piece of culture, Jess?
It is Love Actually.
Love Actually! Finally, there's someone to talk about movies like this with me.
No, we've talked about it a little bit before. I'm a fan of that movie. It's one of a few I've actually downloaded and paid for and bought instead of rented on the iTunes.
That is one of my favorite Hugh Grant appearances ever, I have to say.
I know of Love Actually. I have actually never seen it. So I'm the newbie. I'm the noob.
Explain to us a little bit about Love Actually, Jess.
Well, it's an ensemble cast, Liam Neeson, Hugh Grant, Laura Linney, Emma Thompson, Colin Firth, Alan Rickman, Keira Knightley, and it's just a bunch of separate plots that somehow connect, not like Cloud Atlas.
exactly like Cloud Atlas.
Give me the true here.
With less nose putty.
And there's a plot with Hugh Grant is the Prime Minister of Britain, and he falls for his sort of what they consider in the movie a pudgy assistant, which is
Hollywood pudgy. Keira Knightley.
She's Hollywood pudgy, or as most dudes of my personal acquaintance would say, in Hugh Grant's position, hot.
Yeah.
And then there's the Keira Knightley is getting married to this guy, and the guy's best friend acts like he hates Keira Knightley, but secretly he's in love with her.
Okay. Yes. So it's basically interlocking plots about love.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes. What I like about Love Actually, to interject, is that some of the plots, particularly the plot that involves Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman, that plot is very heavy.
Yeah, it's melancholy.
And very sad in some ways. The one with Laura Linney is extremely sad. The one with Liam Neeson is sort of in the middle. It's sort of very bittersweet. But then some of them, the one with Hugh Grant.
The one with Bill Nye, for instance.
The one with Bill Nye.
Which is hysterical.
There's one that actually sort of ultimately involves a kind of fantasy sequence with a bunch of hot girls. And I mean, and those are very, very lighthearted. And what I admire about that movie is the ability to kind of put all those things in one movie, and yet it feels kind of cohesive.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a really solid movie.
So how is it a holiday film?
It takes place at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, in the weeks leading up to Christmas.
Right.
Right.
It's
right.
Wintry. There's snow.
I
have a very like low bar for being considered a Christmas movie.
And the Bill Nye storyline is about him re-recording one of his old hits. He's an aging rocker with a drug problem, and or used to have a drug problem, and he's re-recording this old song as a Christmas song, and he really just is stupid.
I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes.
I feel it in my toes, yeah.
Love is all around me.
All around
and
me.
So the thing.
I'm afraid you did it again, Bill.
It's just I know the old version so well, you know.
Well, we all do. That's why we're making the new version.
Right, exactly. And then the Emma Thompson plot also relies heavily around Christmas and the buying of gifts and things like that. And it's, I think the way in which it's a Christmas movie to me in feel is that it kind of gets at the way that Christmas tends to kind of bring up a lot of emotional sort of, can bring a lot of emotional upheaval to certain people's lives. But I think Jess's argument was she can watch that movie any time of year.
That's true, and it came out, let's see, 2003, I looked it up. I had no idea. I did not see it. I did not see it when it came
out.
No. But when I went to college, it was like this vehicle for like hanging out.
Yeah.
In like a common room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. A movie that everybody could agree on.
Yeah, and it was a movie that everyone could sort of tune in and out of. And
right.
It's a thing that I do with my friends every year, or I try to do, but it's on the loop. It's like music, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had exactly the same experience a couple of weeks ago with some friends.
So this falls into the category of like a Notting Hill, as far as like a, is it a romantic,
well,
is it considered a romantic comedy?
Parts of it, yeah. Parts
but
of
like
it
a romantic comedy that is, that crosses over into, you know, beyond sort of.
The Hugh Grant part is, but not all the plots are.
Also, same director. I Wikipedia'd this. I can't think of it. So
Jess is like, I've discovered a resource. I don't know if you guys know of it.
I had to prepare for today.
I mean, it's having not seen this movie, it has sort of become lumped together in my head with the Arrested Development bit on Love Indubitably. And so it sort of has become almost parodic in my head as sort of like, this is just one of those movies in which, you know, love. But it's good.
Yeah,
I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think it is.
And you'll gravitate towards certain storylines.
Right.
You didn't mention, I love the Colin
Firth
one.
I was going to say, I forgot the Colin Firth story.
I'm sort of fuzzy on it at this moment, but I think his wife recently left. Oh, he discovered his wife was cheating on him.
Yeah.
He goes to another country, potentially, or like another house.
He's a writer.
Yeah.
And he's right. Jess and I have
you guys are making this movie up.
Jess and I have a warm and specific memory of this storyline.
No, he goes off to France, right?
To write. And
yeah.
And he has a young
terrible
woman. He has a young woman who's working as his housekeeper, assistant.
Assistant, do it all.
Right.
And she's Portuguese.
She does it all. No.
No.
She's lovely, but she doesn't speak English. So there's kind of this interesting story about them just kind of being a little bit at cross purposes at the beginning.
So this is basically, it's a movie, not only is it for a gigantically broad audience, but also any time of year.
Right.
Yeah.
This is sort of what we were saying. And I was saying, I feel that way about, I mean, normally I am a pretty big stickler about, I try to limit my Christmas stuff to Thanksgiving to Christmas, because otherwise it ruins it. So that's the only time I listen to Christmas music. Now, I have to admit, I gave myself a couple of days of head start this year and had my first peppermint mocha already.
Nice.
But typically I save the peppermint mocha, the Christmas music. As I've said before on this show, it is the only time of the year that I listen to Harry Connick Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And so normally I'm
a
stickler.
He's the eggnog of singers.
Yeah, exactly. Normally I'm a stickler for this kind of thing. But there are certain things, you know, there are certain pieces of music that I miss at other times of year that I will occasionally hear. I did a lot of choral singing when I was younger, which I miss very much, especially around the holidays. And I have sung both the soprano and the alto parts in various Messiah sections.
Nice.
Because, as many of you know, very rarely do you hear the entire Messiah.
Yes.
You will hear, usually, selections.
Sure.
And I enjoy that. And I can listen to that at any time of year, I will say. There are parts of that I can listen to at any time of year. I concentrate it around the holidays.
Well, when you think about, you know, sort of Christmas music and holiday music, I mean, you have the school of it that is really just choral music, and that is classical music, and that's very different from like Up on the Housetop,
right?
Or Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Sure, absolutely. And and
boy, Grandma Got Run Over. How did that song
Sorry.
There are so many Christmas novelty songs. Why that one?
Because it's the first thing Trey thought of. I mean, seriously, like, there's a reason it's the first thing Trey thought
of. Oh, no, I don't mean why did Trey say it. Why does it exist? But,
no, that's why it exists.
It exists because the title is that grabby and it's that irritating.
Why not All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth?
Oh, I thought you were going to say All I Want for Christmas is You Love Actually.
In Love Actually.
Yes, yes.
Which I can also listen to on your
Yeah, and was it last year that there was that weird video with Mariah Carey and Justin Bieber?
Oh, that was so strange.
Creepy. Look it up. Creepy.
She basically redoes it, and it's a Macy's commercial, right?
Basically,
and it's
yes.
her and Bieber, like, making goo-goo eyes at each other all over Macy's.
It's gross and
Well,
creepy.
Maybe it's ruined now. But
yeah, you might ruin it for yourself.
But holiday music in general, I mean, the stuff that's really great is really great because it's great music. And you can either, you know, sort of only dole it out to yourself after a certain point in the year, which I certainly do recommend with all this holiday stuff. I mean, it's one of the downsides of that whole notion of what is it, Etowah, everything
that ever was available forever.
Right. Is that it's not like eggnog that goes sour. It's there and you can grab it off YouTube or pull out your DVD or whatever and it's available to you. So I do kind of keep that rule of like, I love Frosty the Snowman. I can't wait to break out Frosty the Snowman. But I will wait to break out Frosty the Snowman until after Thanksgiving. But with certain holiday music, it's tricky when it crosses over from holiday music into headache remedies. And I have a certain like a playlist in my iTunes that's like headache remedies, just music that makes me feel better. And the one that jumps out immediately, there are certain selections on the first Sufjan Stevens holiday box set, Songs for Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, we've played on a previous episode, I think it was when I wasn't even on, where you guys played Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
I mean, it's more just a religious song than a Christmas-specific song.
Right.
But it is incredibly wonderful and kind of that cocoa for the soul.
Right, and that's an example of a song that I associate with the holidays because it's on that record.
Right.
But yet, that's why I was so surprised when I turned up on an episode of Friday Night Lights having nothing to do with the holidays.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And you know, so there are certain Sufjan Stevens, and incidentally, there is a new Sufjan Stevens box set, another 5-disc Christmas box set called Silver and Gold that we'll actually have streaming on the NPR Music website.
How nice.
It's a real mixed bag, but there's a bunch of incredibly lovely stuff. The other one that I would throw out there that is probably my favorite holiday album of all time, which is just called Christmas by the band Low.
On our way from sorrow, started to snow, and you said
talk about cocoa for the soul. It is just soul nourishingly gorgeous.
But stuff like this, would you ever be able to, like, would it serve as cocoa for the soul in July? Or do you have different things that you need in the summer?
I mean, you know, that's a good question. And it's certainly a record I break out far, far more often in this specific, and it's also a wintry record, and not just because there are occasional little dollops of sleigh bells.
Right.
But if I've got a splitting headache in July, you know, and I want to be that, you don't want to be wrapped in blankets in July, but you want the equivalent of being figuratively wrapped in blankets, it does work for that. And I have found that I have broken that, I've cheated and broken that record out.
Nice.
Elsewhere in the year.
Nice. Thoughts, Trey?
Well, I'm going to turn away from music and go back to movies, but we've said before that Die Hard is a Christmas movie that you can watch anytime.
I had Die Hard written down.
It is.
But also, who remembered that Go was set at Christmas?
Yes.
With Sarah Polley.
I only remember that because of shirtless Timothy Olyphant.
Right.
With Santa hat.
And Katie Holmes. Who remembered that Katie Holmes was in that movie?
Oh, I did.
Kind of forgot.
Oh, yeah. That's one of her accomplishments.
So this is a movie about a woman who sort of gets on the roof.
That was incredibly passive-aggressive. I know you lived in Minnesota for a long time, but that was some hearty Midwestern passive aggressiveness.
It was indeed.
Oh, that's one of her accomplishments, don't you know? Oh, no, she's in that movie. That movie's actually pretty good.
It's another movie with interlocking narratives and that sort of coincide in different ways. And I like it. I go back and watch that one from time to time.
Go, yeah, Go's a good movie. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about, I have trouble with this sometimes because I tend to really be a quarantiner in the sense that if I'm going through, like, episodes of, like, a sitcom that I'm watching a whole season of...
Yeah, I was going to bring up this point.
I will pretty much skip over Christmas episodes.
Really?
I do not watch them. I will skip over them.
That is impressive.
I can watch Valentine's Day episodes or Halloween episodes or whatever, but if it's a Christmas episode, I will skip over it.
Wow,
I do not watch Christmas episodes.
This was the next point that I was going to raise, is that... Does the way we consume, particularly television, as just glomming onto entire seasons, does that change the way, does that break the quarantine? Because I break
the quarantine
all the time.
Not for me. I will skip over them.
I'm usually in too much of a stupor. I mean, you have to, like, get up and push a button.
If I see that it's, like, a Christmas episode of, like, Friends, I will just not do it.
Wow.
I want you all to know that the quiz that we're going to have in a little bit does not feature, but almost featured, the episode of Friends where Monica receives a declaration of love while wearing a turkey on her head. I just want you to know it's not in there, but I thought about it.
That quick Thanksgiving note, I just want to apologize.
Yeah.
I want to apologize to our public. We missed a couple of really,
really
high
watermarks.
And as bad as it is that we didn't acknowledge Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Or Pieces of April.
Or Pieces of April as, you know, perfectly emblematic Thanksgiving movies. The fact that none of us acknowledged, and I think I like to think if Glenn Weldon had been here, he would have acknowledged the episode of WKRP in Cincinnati with the turkey drop.
As God is my witness.
I thought turkeys could fly. God! Oh, my
See,
God.
We know it. We just didn't think of it.
We know it and love it and forgot it.
And
we
I was such a huge West Wing fan, too. I couldn't believe we didn't talk about that much.
Basically, that whole episode. Just delete that episode. We're just going to start over.
That's
strong words.
Come on. That's a little too harsh. What I will say about holiday entertainment that you do not need to transport outside the holiday season is any of the Gary Marshall holiday commemorative movies, because you shouldn't even watch them when they are seasonally appropriate.
Wow. No. Valentine's Day.
I went to New Year's Eve with you.
New Year's
that
Eve
was
terrible.
Horrifying.
But Valentine's Day, I have a
Valentine's
soft spot
Day
for.
Parts of it are.
I don't know. I see Gary Marshall. I think the other sister, and I flee.
So I have one other movie.
You bet.
I'm not sure if you guys have seen The Family Stone. I have a soft spot for.
You know, who is it that I know? Who else told me about that? Yeah, I have not seen it, but I know somebody besides you who's, like, practically favorite movie it is.
Yes, I own it on DVD. It's in my bag downstairs. I, like, brought it just in case I needed to just gaze at it. It came out on Christmas in 2005. I saw it with my family. It's another ensemble cast. Potentially these comfort holiday movies year-round have something to do with ensemble casts.
all my favorite actors in one
but
place.
Rachel McAdams, Sarah Jessica Parker, Claire Danes, Diane Keaton, Luke Wilson, Craig T. Nelson from Coach, and Dermot Mulroney, the weak link.
Dermot Mulroney as the weak link.
I've watched it so many times that I can't deal with his performance.
I'm afraid you lost me at Sarah Jessica Parker, though.
No, she's been good in certain things, and I've heard she's good in this.
She was convincing as the uptight prissy Manhattan woman, which is
does a taxi cab hit a mud puddle and splash her at any point?
There's a lot of monologues. No,
she lives in this really big apartment she could never afford.
But essentially, the whole family is going home to Bedford, New York, to be in this beautiful, cozy home with where Diane Keaton and Craig T. Nelson are.
Oh my god! I feel like those two have played those roles
I'm totally drawn in, and everything about it. I like Diane Keaton has this mug in the movie, and it's her favorite mug, and that's made as a point. And like literally, when I go to a Home Goods store, I'm like in search of a mug that reminds me of this mug. It's like home, you know. It's just another great family movie. One storyline: Diane Keaton's character. This is not giving anything away. She has cancer, and she's revealing that to the kids. So it's just a really great movie. So if you have not seen it, I recommend it.
See, I'm sitting here thinking, I want to enjoy things the way Jess enjoys things.
So I am the opposite of Glenn Weldon in that the schmoopiness is, I'm all about it. Yeah. So I'm here to fill that role.
Well, it was interesting. Once I started thinking about it, I remembered that although I'm a quarantiner with TV episodes, I won't watch the Christmas episode, there are movies that I watch during the rest of the year that take place at Christmas or have heavy Christmas themes, mm-hmm. because it's very common in romantic comedies. Specifically, two of my very favorites, The Sure Thing takes place at Christmas. When this cross-country trip for Christmas vacation takes place at that time. But also, While You Were Sleeping takes place at Christmas. And involves, there's a sequence early on where she's trying to get her Christmas tree into the apartment, and she's pulling it up with a rope. And there's a Christmas sequence, and there's a climactic holiday party, and, you know, lots of other things. So I do allow for the Christmas sequence in the movie I'm otherwise watching. Yes. But at the same time, there is no time of year I would rather watch those movies than Christmas. Because I am just a hardcore watch Christmas things at Christmas person for the most
Coming
part.
Coming in that category also would be our official favorite movie of all time on Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Oh, really?
Anti-Mame.
Oh.
I have no idea what that is.
We watched it.
I have watched that movie with
you. It's a very strange movie.
But
it's delightful. Mm-hmm. And it has a turning point sequence.
It does.
At Macy's at Christmas.
This is actually, I'm going to go on a little hobby horse here. Mm-hmm. There is a song in the musical of Mame, mm-hmm. We Need a Little Christmas, which is often played at Christmas.
Right.
Despite the fact that the entire point of the song is that it's not Christmas.
Not quite.
The point of the song is essentially that they decide that they need a little Christmas even though it's not Christmas.
Out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking, I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Candles in the window, carols at the spinet. Yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. It hasn't snowed a single flurry, but Santa dear, we're in a hurry. So,
so when you play We Need a Little Christmas at Christmas, you are missing the point. you should be playing We Need a Little Christmas in August.
But couldn't you play We Need a Little Christmas on, say, December 17th? It's like it's 8 days away, but we need it now.
But that would just make you be like, be patient. can't wait 8 days?
Not everybody is able to celebrate Christmas on Christmas.
I understand.
I personally, my kids and I celebrate Christmas on January
2nd. Dad.
January 2nd is Christmas 2, Santa's Revenge in my household because we don't have Christmas together.
I understand.
So we need a little Christmas on January 2nd.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm taking this back on the rails. Uh-huh. One final movie set at Christmas that I would cheerfully watch at any time of year is Gremlins.
That's true. Yeah. Gremlins is set at Christmas.
Set at Christmas, but it's a sci-fi movie, and it's a goofy, silly comedy.
Oh, and it has that business where Phoebe Cates tells that horrible story about her father coming down the chimney.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, if you've seen Gremlins.
I think that movie gave me, like, a nightmare or something.
Yeah, Gremlins is a weird, weird movie, tonally speaking.
Yep.
But people are, once again, going to remind us of all the movies that take place at Christmas, that movie that we forgot. And I just want to stress, as we sometimes have, we are never saying this is the entire universe of what we're talking about. So Don't be offended that we forgot National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, blah, 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 blah.
To the contrary, come and tell us what we didn't talk about and why,
come and tell
we
us.
Should have.
Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH. Tell us all about the things that we forgot that we should have included. And give us your firm and strong opinion on what the best storyline is in Love Actually, because I think that's really,
that's really
the fundamental key point of this conversation, is what is the best storyline in Love Actually. Quality-wise, it is Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Fun-wise, it is Hugh Grant. That is my vote.
I got nothing. I haven't seen it.
I know.
Loser.
We'll have to fix that at some point. All right. Well, that's that segment, and now we are at the middle of the show, which sometimes is the time when I like to bring forth a little quiz for the group. It's quiz time. There are a total of 12 questions, so each one of you will get four. We have four rounds. It's a pretty robust quiz this time around. We will just go around. This quiz is about television airing between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, one time in the past when we did this, I kept switching back and forth between making you pick the real thing and making you pick the fake thing, and everyone kept getting confused. And as satisfying as that was for me because it made people get questions wrong, I think sometimes it was confusing for others. So in this one, in all cases, you are picking the real thing, the true thing, from a list of things.
That's going to make it trickier for me.
I was
going
to say, Stephen's favorite way of doing this kind of quiz is to figure out what I made up. In these, I made up, most of them have three possible answers.
So you will have made up two of them.
I will have made up two of them.
Okay.
So you have to pick the real one, and we will just go around. Jess Gittner, which of these is a real show? Killer auctions, where the possessions of people who have committed famous murders, like Lizzie Borden, are put up for bids. Killer karaoke, where Jackass star Steve-O puts you through physical challenges while you perform hit songs. Or killer meals, where the last meals ever eaten by famous historical figures are prepared for and critiqued by a panel of judges. Killer auctions, killer karaoke, or killer meals. One of those is a real show.
I want to go for killer auctions.
The answer is killer karaoke.
Oh, how is that possible?
That's the real one. That was the one I was sure was fake.
With Steve-O on True TV beginning November 23rd.
Of course,
so that's
it is.
Just
wow.
This week.
On True TV.
Yep.
And I feel like I've seen all of Steve-O's work. And that's not an exaggeration.
Including on Dancing with the Stars?
Okay, not Dancing with the Stars, but I've seen his.
You're a Steve-O completist.
I watched Jackass, you know, pretty religiously, including his. Self-filmed descent into addiction.
Oh, right, which he has discussed on Loveline a number of times with Dr. Drew, who treated him. Anyway, so Trey Graham, which is a real episode of Whisker Wars on IFC? That would be the show about competitive
about
facial
beardy,
hair
yeah.
growing. That's So Bushy, It's Norway or the Highway, or Shave and a Bear Cut, B-E-A-R.
Oh, no. I want it to be Shave and a Bear Cut.
I know you do. But it's not. It's Norway or the Highway.
Okay.
That is the real upcoming episode of Whisker Wars. Stephen Thompson.
Yes.
Which is a real Lifetime movie about literary characters during the holidays? Santa and Tom Sawyer, The March Sisters at Christmas, or The Gingerbread House of Arthur Dimmesdale?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, what was the middle one again?
The March Sisters at Christmas.
That's what I'm going
You are right. That
God,
is the so right
smart.
That is the right one. I can't believe you didn't go for the Gingerbread House of Arthur. Trey liked that one. I saw Trey snort at that
I
one.
I did, in fact.
Jess Gittner, which is a real TLC special? Extreme Cougar Wives, Extreme Rodeo Drive, or Extreme Cake Toppers?
I actually know this.
This is tricky. Let's see, because two of those are like the other, and one is an outlier.
Extreme Cougar Wives, Extreme Rodeo Drive, Extreme Cake Toppers.
I'm going to go with Extreme Cougar Wives.
You are right.
You are correct.
Yes. You are correct, Jess Gittner. Trey Graham, which is a real Nat Geo show premiering on November 29th? Extreme Crushers, Extreme Engines, or Extreme Chainsaw?
Oh, I want it to be Extreme Chainsaw.
It is Extreme Chainsaw.
Yay! I know what Trey Graham is watching.
Now you can watch Extreme Chainsaw. Stephen Thompson.
Yes.
In the Hallmark movie, The Christmas Heart, everyone bands together to help a kid who needs what? A heart transplant, a husband for his widowed mother.
Or all of the above.
Or a horse to ride in a parade, which is his dying wish.
Oh,
the Christmas heart, a heart transplant. That'd be the literal answer. Mm-hmm. A husband for his widowed mother, or a horse to ride in a parade, which is his dying wish.
I'm going with husband for his widowed mother.
It is the heart transplant.
That was my favorite question.
Jess Gittner, which is a real variety special premiering on December 3rd? Blake Shelton's Not-So-Family Christmas, starring Kelly Clarkson, Jay Leno, and Larry the Cable Guy. Howie Mandel's Holiday Mobs, featuring flash mobs that, among other things, sing Carol of the Bells in a safe way. And or Santa Paws, featuring the famous chorus of barking dogs.
It's just a ticket That's to your crazy. Brain, Holmesy.
Blake Shelton, Howie Mandel, or Santa Paws?
It's a wild guess. I really don't know. Blake Shelton?
That is correct.
Oh, my God.
Blake Shelton is the real one. Trey Graham, here is your Hallmark Christmas movie question. In the Hallmark Christmas movie airing December 8th, Andrew McCarthy plays a financial executive dating a wealthy woman, but everything changes when what happens? One, he gets a dog and meets a woman in the dog park. The film is called Christmas Pup. Two, he hires a woman to redecorate his apartment. The film is called Down the Chimney. Or three, he signs up for dance lessons taught by a woman. The film is called Come Dance With Me.
I'm going to go with the lady in the dog park.
It is the dance lessons. You have to admit, you'd watch Christmas Pup.
I kind of did.
Stephen Thompson,
yes.
Hayley Duff stars in the Lifetime Christmas movie with what punny title? All About Christmas Eve, A Christmas Tree Grows in Brooklyn, or Tiny Prancer?
Oh, jeez Louise. My attention span is so short that the only one I can remember is Tiny Prancer. So I'm just going to go with that one.
The answer is All About Christmas Eve.
Yeah, yeah.
Shoot, yeah.
Jess Gittner, which is a real show? Amish Criminals, Amish Mafia, or Greatest Amish Scandals?
Amish Criminals.
It is Amish Mafia, which apparently is about a band of men who help with law enforcement in the Amish community. Mm-hmm.
So it's not Italian Amish.
Interesting.
No, I think it's a loose use of the word mafia. Mm-hmm. Trey Graham. One of the stars of Saw 3, Rachel Wilson, stars in a Hallmark movie called what? Baby's First Christmas, Christmas is Coming, or Kitty Cat Christmas? Baby's First Christmas, Christmas is Coming, or Kitty Cat Christmas?
Christmas is Coming?
Baby's First Christmas.
Oh, man. So you picked a bland one. That's smart.
Oh, yeah. Stephen Thompson,
yes.
Last question. Which premieres for a fourth season on December 19th? Full Throttle Penitentiary, Full Throttle Strip Club, or Full Throttle Saloon?
I'm going to go with Full Throttle Saloon.
You are right.
Yes! 2 out of 4. Just all I wanted was 500, man.
You are right. That is your Christmas television. That is your holiday television quiz. And now you know some of what's going on in the Hallmark movies that I'll be
and
watching.
And in Linda's brain.
This is Stephen's favorite part, is trying to figure out which are the fake answers I made up. But, you know, it was a little tough this time. I tried to make them boring for you.
What you're picking out of Linda's brain here is how many Hallmark movies you watch.
Did you have to reference any document to one?
I did. I used listings for all of these. None of these were from memory, not even the one about Andrew McCarthy in the dancing movie. Although I did recently see one with Andrew McCarthy as a cowboy, which was not the most convincing use of Andrew McCarthy.
So this is the domain of Andrew McCarthy these days?
Yes.
Lifetime movies?
Yep. Get on Andrew McCarthy.
There is a certain kind of person who that's where they wind up. And,
gotta work.
And that
gotta
seems
pay the bills.
To be what he seems to be paying the bills that away.
God bless.
So so that's the Christmas quiz. And you all did well, I think.
Not
under
really.
The
I think we all did mediocre at
you
best.
All did perfectly fine under the circumstance. I tried to make the fake answers really boring, with the exception of the gingerbread house of Arthur Dimmitt. Dimmesdale, which I think Trey was the only person to fully appreciate. So that brings us to our final segment, What is Making Us Happy This Week? Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week?
Well, what is making me happy, I have not yet really delved into a show that everyone is recommending for me, which is Bob's Burgers. Mm-hmm. I've loved little bits and pieces of it that I've seen here and there. I have not yet sunk in and enjoyed it. But I recently found a clip of the Thanksgiving song that one of the characters performs, which is just this, we'll hear a little snippet of it here.
The cranberry sauce, we're having mashed potatoes. Ooh, the turkey looks great.
Len.
Thank you for loving me.
Len.
Thank you for being there.
Oh, God.
Everyone's thanking.
Len.
The whole world's thanking you.
Stop.
Thanking
Len.
Us for thanking
Stop.
You.
Len.
Kill the turkey.
Please.
I liked it.
So that is the Thanksgiving song from Bob's Burgers. And by the way, how right was Glenn Weldon about the genius of H. John Benjamin?
Hmm.
Okay, so what has now surfaced? The producers of the show cooked this up, and it is making me incredibly happy. There is now a cover of that particular song by The National.
You could see the blissed out expression on Steven's face.
Pass the cranberry sauce. Having mashed potato.
You're the person this is for.
The turkey looks great. No one. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being there. Thank you for loving me. Everyone's thanking. The whole world's thanking you. Thanking us for thanking you.
Oh my goodness.
It's when things I like come together.
It's like they knew you.
Do you talk about pop culture made just for me? That right there. The National performing a song from Bob's Burgers.
It is indeed. Trey Graham, what's making you happy this week?
Couple of smallish things and one biggish thing. I may have mentioned this in the past, but I've been sort of mainlining Happy Endings, and I'm really enjoying it. So finally,
the show.
Yes. finally took your advice and watched it, and I do in fact enjoy it quite a lot. I also saw a production, an otherwise undistinguished production of My Fair Lady at Arena Stage in Washington. And it co-starred as Freddie, the young man who falls for Eliza. A singer named Nicholas Rodriguez, and he's a classically trained tenor. He did Tarzan on Broadway, I think, or maybe on national tour. So you may have seen him. You may have a chance to see him if he comes to do something in your town. Let me recommend that if Nicholas Rodriguez comes to sing anything in your town, you go and see it, because he is awesome. And it's so wonderful to hear a solid, serious voice take on those songs when other actors, who are more actors than singers, are doing other things around him, so I was really pleased about that.
Nice. I like the idea of going to see this production of My Fair Lady on the strength of Trey Graham raves undistinguished,
otherwise undistinguished. And then the slightly bigger thing that I kind of wanted to mention, just to say thanks, was that I had a very unpleasant experience this past Saturday on the street, and I won't go into details, but it sort of came back and kicked me in the pants this morning as the day we tape. And I had a really stressful day. And when I described this experience on Facebook, people responded with such an outpouring of support and affection that it was really, really gratifying. So thank you all for that.
And you're feeling better, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope you're feeling better as we gather around the microphones and talk about Love Actually and listen to The National sing that song.
And I did, in fact, take Linda's advice and listen to the shared Spotify playlist that you all helped us create. It's called Begging the Public for Joy. And if you haven't ever had a chance to listen to it, now's a good time.
It's very awesome. It's very awesome. It was crowdsourced by all you lovely people. Jess Gittner, what's making you happy this week? Other than, of course, joining us for the show.
Of course. In addition to that, I have seen the movie that I had seen the trailer for about a year ago. It's called Kiss Me. It's Swedish. It came out in 2011, but finally this month came out on DVD with English subtitles. It is a gay movie, a lesbian movie, and this is like a unicorn in 2012.
What do you want? You already had Bound.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. I'm agreeing with Jess.
Okay, so basically, let me describe the plot. It's one woman. She goes back to her family's home. Her dad is engaged, newly engaged to his new fiance, not her mother, obviously. And she meets her future stepsister, and they exchange, as Wikipedia puts it, portending glances. And it is so good. I imagine if you had never seen a movie where a man and a woman kiss or have sex, essentially. This is how I felt seeing this movie. I had seen something for the first time.
I've seen lots of movies where women...
Stephen Thompson.
I'm sorry. Whoa. It was right there.
Now we're
I'm
back
sorry.
On happy endings.
Sorry.
Whoa. Okay. So it stars these two Swedish actresses.
Stephen's like, I think I saw this.
I'm moving on. Ruth Vega Fernandez and Liv Mionis. Just beautifully acted, beautifully shot. It's so believable, and it's sort of like if anyone saw Imagine Me and You, which teases you for like an hour and a half and then ends with like a single kiss. This is sort of similar plots, but give something back, if you will. It doesn't leave you hanging. It's upbeat, and it's also upbeat, which apparently the director and writer got a little flack for, because
lesbians are supposed to be sad.
You know, it's like no one wants to watch like a Brokeback Mountain, like just pop it in on a Saturday. You know, so this was just really refreshing. So it's called Kiss Me, also titled With Every Heartbeat, which is strange because the previous famous lesbian movie out of Sweden is titled in English Show Me Love, which is also both Robin songs by Robin. So I'm predicting the next Swedish lesbian movie is called Call Your Girlfriend or Dancing on My Own. But so yeah, Kiss Me, Making Me Happy, and you know, all things Swedish and Norwegian.
That's wonderful.
Nice.
And I do want to make it clear, in case we weren't clear, we do know the difference between the movies Stephen is making a joke about and the movies Jess is talking about. It's a little joke.
Sometimes the ball's hovering over the net and you just
everybody knows the difference. It's a little, of course. Anyway, everyone who follows me on any sort of social media knows what is making me happy this week, which is that I got to go home after spending almost 2 weeks out of my house owing to a little water issue in the apartment, in that there was a bunch of it where it wasn't supposed to be. So, you know, I wish that I had something really super pop culture-y and specific that I could talk about, but mostly I'm overwhelmed with being happy that I got to sleep in my bed. I will say I've been making some new lovely habits on my DVR, been watching a lot of Chopped. I like it when they have to make desserts out of gummy bears. I like it when they open up the basket.
I do that all the time. Just fistfuls.
I like it when they open up the basket and it's like turkey, you know, smoked oysters. Like they've been doing Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So like three of them will be normal things. And then it'll be like, and also tamales. And then you have to figure out like how to incorporate tamales into your turkey dinner. And I enjoy a little Chopped, but the point mostly is not about Chopped. The point is it is nice to be just settling back into my normal habits after having to inflict myself on various people and their hospitality for quite a while. I am happy to be moderately self-sufficient again.
Yay.
And if I'm being honest, that's what's making me happy.
I think we can all applaud that.
Yeah. I'm also happy, as I suspect we all are, that Thanksgiving is coming up. I am personally going to be seeing my lovely family, and I'm looking forward to that. And I know Stephen's looking forward to a nice long drive.
Yes, I am driving my kids halfway across the country, which I know that's technically a violation of the Zaxxon rule.
Yeah, let's
clear up one more item of business, because a bunch of people have written on our Facebook page or tweeted us, what is the Zaxxon rule? Right. When we talk about violating the Zaxxon rule. The Zaxxon rule is when, particularly when you're talking about what's making us happy, we talk about something in our lives that is not applicable to the public at large, not available to the public at large. So it could just as easily be the Trey's nephew's rule.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yep. We all have our.
Or the I got to move back into my house.
Or the my apartment is no longer flooded rule.
Mm-hmm.
So the Zaxxon rule is referring to the fact that about, I don't know, what, a year ago, I purchased a full-size arcade Zaxxon machine and yammered about it endlessly on the show as the thing that was making me happy on, like, several different occasions. And since most people do not have Zaxxon machines.
But yes, that is the Zaxxon rule. And we do occasionally. It is a rule that is, in a sense, made to be broken, in the sense that we attempt to mostly follow it, but we do sometimes observe it in the breach.
But sometimes, man, we're just giving you a window into our lives.
Yeah, this is why Glenn was so glad he wasn't there last week, is that there's way too much talking about ourselves in addition to gratitude. So, yeah. You know, what can you say? What can you say? All right, that brings us to the end of our show. You can follow all of us on Twitter. You can follow me and the blog at NPR Monkey C. You can follow Stephen at I Dislike Stephen, STEPHEN. You can follow Trey at Trey Graham, Trey with an E, Graham like a graham cracker. You can follow Jess at Jess Gittner, GITNER. You can follow our missing pal, Glenn Weldon, at GH Weldon, WELDON. You can follow our esteemed producer emeritus and music director, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff, KATZIF. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides our in and out music, which you are tapping your foot to right now. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jess, especially, Yay! For being on the mic with us.
Yay! It was fun.
And thanks to all of you for listening, and we will see you back here next week.